Good day to you. God bless you. Welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. We just praise our Father for the privilege of being able to gather with you. We thank Him for this great nation. Hey, sometimes people think something's wrong with her, and there might be a little bit, but hang around. We'll have the victory. It's no problem. It's no step for a stepper, I assure you. Love your country. Stand up for her. And when you hear people talk against her or take the side of the communist instead of our nation, mark that person well and write them off. All right? It's that simple. That way we always have the victory. So we thank our Father for this platform guaranteed under the Constitution of this great nation, freedom of religion. And may we never abuse that right. And we just thank Him in the precious name of Yeshua Messiah, Jesus Christ. Well, bless your hearts, we're just going to visit a little bit in between books tonight. Talk about, I think I'm going to funnel it down to maybe the last trump. When it sounds, what you can expect. I guess primarily what that would say, what's going to happen at the end of this earth age. What should you be looking forward to? And when will we gather back to Christ? You know, the Word is very clear on that, and it's sure a far cry from what man teaches. That's to say the traditions of man teach the gathering back to Him shall be. Now, tomorrow, in the next lecture, we're going to start the book of Ecclesiastes. One of the most... It's a very simple book. It's just that people that don't understand the Hebrew don't realize that Ecclesiastes is written to the man that walks under the sun, which means you in the flesh. It tells you how to be happy in a flesh body. It's God's. He devoted the entire book to teaching one how to be happy in a flesh body. Are you? If you're not, you don't want to miss a lecture in that book of Ecclesiastes, for I assure you, in bringing forth and explaining the Hebrew idioms, you're going to learn a great deal about death, where the dead are, how you must live today, what should you put in priority, in order in priority in your life, and in your way of thinking. I think you'll really enjoy it. But I want you to open your Bibles. You're not going to have this on the character generator because we're just going to visit. We're just going to visit in this lecture. I want you to open your Bibles, though, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we're going to start with 52, but I want to lead up to this. Paul is discussing here what the human body is like and also what the spiritual body is like. He said, hey, you've got two bodies. Don't you know that? You've got an earthly body and you have a spiritual body. Everybody does. Now, you can dwell in one or you can dwell in the other. But as long as you're in the flesh, you cannot dwell in the spiritual body. Now, I'm not speaking in a spiritual sense. This is de facto. You cannot enter heaven in the flesh body. All right? Now, many spiritualists might want to spiritualize that away, but be that as it may, you can be happy and your thoughts can be on that heavenly body, but there's no way flesh and blood can enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, when you either are raised or when you die, then all enter paradise for the judgment. Some will stay, some won't. That's up to you. God only judging. But Paul is explaining very clearly, and I like the way Paul teaches. He takes a grain of corn. I'm going to call it a grain of corn. He says in that 37th verse concerning the dead, Don't you know that for that grain of corn to grow into a beautiful plant, it must die? And it's the same way. We in these flesh bodies, to grow into that beautiful spiritual body, you got to shed the flesh. Now, you stay in it as long as the Father has a duty and an obligation, but this brings us to our topic. The final generation shall not die, but it shall be changed. It's going to shed the flesh, just like an old snake sheds its skin every year or whatever. And within that, we see the entering into that new promised age, the millennium, the time of true salvation, the time of learning. I know I may upset some when I say the time of true salvation, but you see, there's not going to be any guessing games for anybody in the millennium. When you're taught there, you'll be taught by Yeshua and his elect, while Satan is bound in the abyss. So chapter 15 and verse 50, I'm going to start right there because I want to drive that point home. Paul has completed on after the grain of corn dying and saying, don't be ignorant of this. You have two bodies, the celestial and the terrestrial, or the corruptible and the incorruptible. And you're going to step into that spiritual body. Incorruptible in the Hebrew, a Greek rather, means a body that doesn't age or wither or grow old. Okay, let's pick it up with verse 50. Now, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. There's just no way you can go there. John was taken there in the spirit. Paul was taken there in the spirit. But you can't take the meat along with you, okay? Neither cannot inherit king. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. In other words, when you put on that spiritual body, you're not going to inherit that old flesh body you've been chunking around, carrying around with you. Okay? You put it to one side. 51, he says, behold, I show you a mystery. I'm going to show you something. It's kind of a deep thought for a lot of people. But if you'll hang with Paul here, he'll clarify it for you. We shall not all sleep. We're not all going to die as we know death today. But we shall all, and I want you to underline that in your mind, not a few, not the chosen, not just this bunch or that bunch, but every living being, every chunk of meat, every flesh body shall be changed. All shall be changed. How long is that going to take? 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Now, when's that going to happen? I want to make that clear, because there's some of these rapture theorists would like for you to believe that only a few are going to take part in this change. No, friend, don't listen to that. Life's too short to listen to fairy tales or people that like to word God's word as it would suit their purpose to frighten a bunch of poor, scattered people into their little congregation to fill the coffers and listen to the windbags. Makes them feel good. But let's stick to God's word. It says all. So we're talking about a change. At the end of this earth age, all will be changed and we'll all gather back to Christ. Have you heard? Well, now, wait a minute. Only the righteous are resurrected. I haven't said anything about resurrection, and neither has his word. It's not talking about resurrection. It has very little even to do with the resurrection. They're only being raised. It's a big difference in being raised and being resurrected into the spiritual body of first fruits. For you see, we're only talking about bodies so far. We've got to talk about souls here in a minute. You see, your soul is that inner thing, which is you, whichever body you're in. And your spirit is the intellect of that soul, your thinking process. So keep your thinking hat on for a moment. Yes, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, it's going to happen that quick for everybody that's in this generation. When? At the last trump. So it becomes very important for us to know when that last trump is. You see these stupid pictures of people driving down freeways, cars empty. Hey, it all happens at the same time. Everybody leaves the flesh at the same time. Well, they told me if I didn't walk down that aisle and do three dipsy-doos and three twirls. Now, I'm not knocking salvation, but I'm knocking the traditions of men. Bunch of nonsense. That I couldn't take part in the great flyaway. There's not going to be a flyaway with part going here and some staying there. This will all happen at the seventh trump. It is not written in God's word. Well, I heard Brother so-and-so say, no, you did. You may have heard him say it, but you didn't hear it from God's word. He's parting from the scripture. I know that sometimes I receive letters from people that say, the first time I heard you, I just couldn't listen to you. But I kept coming back, and it's awful hard to unlearn what you've learned from traditions. And that's true. I apologize for offending some, but I don't know any other way than to tell you to stick to God's Word and forget for just a moment what man has said. We're going to analyze even their number one bullet tonight that puts people down. That is to say, where they sell their bill of goods, the rapture theory. It happens at the last trump. What happens? For the trumpet shall sound. Not maybe, it's going to happen. And the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. These flesh bodies, which are death, they're going to die, are raised incorruptible. That word in the Greek means a new body that you can't age in. You can't have a disease. You can't be handicapped. No lame. Everybody in a perfect body. But what about your soul? 53, for this corruptible, that's to say this flesh body, must put on incorruption. This flesh body must put on a new body. And this mortal, what is mortal? It's soul. This mortal, mortal meaning liable to die, this liable to die soul must put on immortality. That's deathlessness. In other words, you got to be judged, and you're either going to make it or you're not. All right? Verse 54. So when this corruptible, that's to say when this flesh body shall have put on incorruption, have put on the spiritual body, and this mortal soul, meaning a liable to die soul if you've followed Satan, shall have put on immortality, that means passed through judgment and raised as a first fruit, or at the end of the millennium as a victor and overcomer, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory, at the last day of the millennium, the first day following or the day on the great, white throne judgment. Now, I don't want there to be any doubt about what we're talking about here. All shall be changed in an instant, at the twinkling of an eye, and we're all going to put on, that means raised, not resurrected now, but raised for the judgment. That's what it's all about. In the millennium, what takes place in the millennium is a time of teaching. Well, are you teaching a second chance, my friend? The majority today don't have a chance. They're being so misled. They are being told by this group and that group and some other group, if you don't believe our way and if you don't believe this way and if you're not a Methodist, a Baptist, a Presbyterian, if you're not a Catholic, if you're not a Jehovah's Witness, if you're not this, you're going to hell. What kind of God do we have that he would send his own children to the frying pan like a piece of bacon with the propaganda that is put out by the religious systems of today? No way. There's got to come a time of teaching by Christ and God's servants, and that will be the millennium, because these people today don't have a chance. Am I preaching you'll have a second chance? No. If you have ears to hear, you know better now, and you will not bow to Antichrist. You know when this moment's coming to pass. Now, I'm going to document it for you further. When is the seventh trump? If we only knew. If we only knew when that seventh trump was, maybe we wouldn't be deceived. We'd know then when this big change, as some would call the rapture, Paul didn't call it that, our gathering back to Christ, when it would come to pass. Then maybe we would have a little better order of things. Documented from God's Word, not what some man, this man or some other man might say. So I want you to turn with me to the 10th chapter of Revelation. Doesn't that sound logical to you? We know here he's very specific. It's going to happen at the last, and that word last in the Greek, trump, means the furthest one, the ultimate, the end, the last trump. He could not have made it any more clear, and he said, it shall sound. Well, let's find out when that seventh trump does sound. You'll find it written in the 10th chapter of Revelation in part. And the 10th chapter of Revelation reads, let's start with verse 6, just so we catch the thought here. Remember, we've just seen the seven thunders, and he said, seal that up. Don't tell anybody about it. Well, as I've taught you in teaching this revelation, when do you hear the thunder? After the lightning's already struck. That's the action. That's the trumps. You don't hear that until after it's a fact, but God's calling out a people that must hear beforehand. Do you? Listen closely. Verse 6 of chapter 10. What are we looking for in case some of us have let our minds drift? When is the seventh trump and what's happening there? Because that's when we're all going to be changed. Okay, verse 6. And swear by him that liveth forever and ever. That's this angel that appeared on the sea and lifted up his hand to heaven. And he swear to him that liveth forever and ever. Do you know who that is? You should. Who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are. He created both the heavens and the earth, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. Is that difficult? We come to that one place in time when there shall be time no longer. Now, as students of God's Word, if we were to understand Paul right, he said, at the seventh trump, it shall all happen then. Time shall run out at that seventh trump. Then does it not follow that the seventh trump should begin to sound at this time? Verse 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, this is the angel that blows the seventh trump, when he shall begin to sound, when he will begin to blow that last trumpet, the mystery of God should be finished. All over with, friend. Have you been taught right? At this moment, it'll be the last trump. There will be no more mystery, for everybody's going to see it. See what? See this word come to pass as it's written, not what a bunch of windbags have to say about it. Putting you on a it's just like the prophets in Jeremiah's time. There was a bunch of those windbags around them, too, saying, you're not going to have to go into captivity. You're not going to have to face Antichrist, which is to say the king of Babylon. Friend, they did. You know something? They've never stopped. You still got those that sell a good bill of goods to still make people feel good. But the only way you can feel good is to know how it's going to be God's way, and prepare yourself for it, and then you escape, because you know the reality of it. Okay, these mysteries shall be finished as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. All you have to do is understand the prophets, and you already know this. And he continues on in that 10th chapter, and he tells him, you take this book. It means a little biblic, which is written in, without, and without meaning. It is the complete Word of God. Not a verse here, not my favorite little scripture over here. It enlightens me in the day. Friend, you better have a pretty good working knowledge of all of God's Word, or you're in trouble. There's no way you're going to understand the mystery or the simplicity in which these events are consummated that bring about the end. If you don't know it, you're going to be deceived. It's that simple. Well, you don't understand. I'm saved. Saved to who? If you go whoring off out here to Antichrist at the last minute thinking that's Jesus, and he's coming first, supernatural, to deceive this whole world, and will deceive the majority of it, because you listen to some windbag rather than reading the Word of God. He said, you take that book and you eat it. It'll be sweet in your mouth, but it'll be bitter in your tummy. And he did. John ate it. Chapter 11 begins to tell us then of the very end. An end that will happen on earth. We know from chapter 9 that Satan has already been cast out. Apollyon, the son of perdition, the dragon, Satan, Antichrist, meaning instead of Messiah, leading his deception against our people as the scorpion takes its prey. That means injecting them in their minds with the poison, the filth of his lies, into believing he is Jesus. The false Christ will have the majority thinking he is the true Christ. It's that simple. And he tells us in this 11th chapter of that great prophecy mentioned in the 4th chapter of Zechariah, how the two witnesses, God would send these two witnesses, and they would have power over certain things whereby people that are in, that are familiar with God's Word should understand, really should understand God's way. We know then that those two witnesses, Antichrist cannot put up with it, for they have the power to bring forth a truth that is irrefutable. And even you all that have ears to hear, as it's written, you're delivered up before Antichrist, and Christ will speak through you through the Holy Spirit, the true speaking in tongues, not this garbage they call tongues today. And all it is evil spirits or twisted minds or deceived minds into making the body look good. This chunk of meat, it's not coming from the Holy Spirit. Nowhere is it written in God's Word that Babel was of God. Do you know who Babel is from? Babel is anything that does not carry a distinct message as the tongues carried forth on Pentecost Day. Nowhere will you find it written. Well, the Gentiles spoke it too, yeah. Spoke the same tongue, very clear, very distinct, the thing spoken of by Joel concerning the last trump. Grow up. Come out of traditions. That junk only started in 1830. And I know it takes a big man or woman to admit they were duped. And it's a lot easier to say, well, I can't change now. Well, don't. But we won't have to wait long to see whether God's Word is right or you are. I assure you, God never makes a mistake. But these two witnesses, along with those that are spoken of in Mark 13, will speak. But it will not be they, but the Holy Ghost. Those cloven tongues, as they were on Pentecost Day. And they will kill these two people, these two witnesses. Their blood will run in the streets of Jerusalem. However, the word is pacta in the Greek. It's a large arena. They're going to have a party. They're going to say, we're going to get rid of these troublemakers once and for all. They'll be giving gifts and having a party, thinking Jesus is here and we finally got rid of the troublemakers. We got rid of those that said there wasn't going to be a rapture and here he's here to take us. And do you know what happens on the third day? Those two bodies rise from that street. They're the only two that are written killed because God told Satan in chapter 9, don't you touch mine anointed. You can deceive these other people, but don't you touch mine anointed. He finally makes the mistake of touching these two, the two witnesses. And at the instant those two bodies rise from that street, now you want a rapture? Hang on, friend. This is all you're going to get. This is the seventh trump. When those two bodies, the day they're killed, they'll lay in that street 3 days. So at that time, through the prophets, you're going to know pretty close, friend. On that third day, they raise, and a fear comes over those that are partying. Partying in what? Fake religion. Playing church, just like they do today. The Greek verb is epipita, a paralyzing fear comes over them because they know they've been had. They know that they've wallowed after Satan. Let's pick it up in the 11th verse of chapter 11. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them. That's the two witnesses. And great fear fell upon them which saw them. Because it proved they were wrong, you see, and that this fake Christ was wrong also. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. Not the fakes. The two and the elect, and they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. They're going to see the only gathering there's going to be. It happens when? All at the same time. All will be changed. 13, at the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, and the earthquake and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000. That's the fallen angels that return with Satan and begin to give and take in marriage again as they did in the days of Noah. Is your church going to be in that little wedding feast? Are you going to be five of the virgins that fall off to a wedding beforehand and then find out the door is shut to the true wedding? And the remnant were affrighted. The remnant of what? God's election. And gave glory to God in heaven. Listen and learn from the word of God. Verse 14. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe come quickly. Like that. You know why? Instantly, in the twinkle of an eye. Paul told you about it. 15. And the seventh angel sounded. That last trump sounded. Now, you know what has happened here. Not only the two witnesses, but all are changed. At that instant. And there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Let no man deceive you as to when that seventh trump is and when we gather back to Christ. We have work to do. And we shall work in the field. We're not going to be that fuzzy harlot that is taken first by Antichrist. You're going to work in the field until your Father's through with you. And then all shall be changed at one time. Well, Pastor Murray, that's real nice. You have used those scriptures, but you forgot about 1 Thessalonians. I never forget any of God's word. Never. I probably know as much about 1 Thessalonians as any other student might. We can even talk about it if you like. Let's turn there. Because many teach, well, this is why we're going on ahead. Paul, what makes you different than Paul? He said, all. This is when we gather back. Well, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and this is where the dead beats get off, okay? They just can't quite cut it. Chapter 4 and verse 13. Do I talk hard against them? When I see them deceive people, I cannot help being a little upset with them because they're deceiving Christ's sheep, and they're doing it for hire in many cases, in most cases. Chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians, verse 13. But Paul teaches, as we followed, notice how simple it is. But I would not have you to be ignorant. Do you understand? Paul doesn't want you to be ignorant. So listen to Paul. Don't listen to me. Listen to him. Brethren, concerning them which are asleep. I don't want you to be ignorant concerning the dead. All right? Is that difficult? That you sorrow not. I don't want you to weep and be sorry over the dead. Even as others which have no hope. These people that are heathen and have no hope are the ones that are sorrowful. Oh, I know we're selfish and we miss them. But rejoice for them as well. Why? Remember, Paul said, I don't want you to be ignorant about this. 14. The Greek is very specific. You can't stick anything into it. It has the subject and the object. The subject is where are the dead. The object, in a sense, is how you should feel about this and how you should address yourself. 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, if we believe that Jesus died on the cross and came out of that tomb,